Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook. This is the episode for Friday, February 16th, and All-Star Weekend is finally here. So take a vacation from worrying about the Detroit Pistons for a few days. Again, this is your host, Matt Shook. You can find me on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and also at the Locked On Pistons Twitter account and our Facebook page at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. And like I said, take a little vacation from this team. Enjoy All-Star Weekend if you're a Pistons hoops head and whatnot. I used to love All-Star Weekend growing up. It's lost its luster as we're reminded and beaten down out of our heads on Twitter every All-Star Saturday and All-Star Sunday, but it's still enjoyable if you got the night off and you want to check that out. So we'll keep the podcast going next week, obviously, but we'll try to come up with some offbeat ways and looking at the Pistons franchise, the Blake Griffin trade, and some other things as well. But today and this weekend, it's all about the All-Star game, and that's what we're going to be talking about on today's podcast. The past for the Pistons in the All-Star game, the present for the Pistons in the All-Star game, and the future for possible Pistons in the All-Star game as well. We're going to start in the present, so if you want to go sequentially, you might want to fast forward to the second segment where we talk about the past, but we're going to be setting the table for Andre Drummond and whatever else you need to know about the Pistons weekend ahead for All-Star weekend in Los Angeles, and then we're going to be looking at some past Pistons in the All-Star games, big moments, and also some All-Star Saturday and maybe an All-Star Friday as well, one that Brandon Knight, former Piston, might want to forget. And we'll also talk about the future here at the end of the podcast as well. Is Andre Drummond going to be a perennial All-Star? He's at his second one this weekend. Will Blake Griffin, after being a five-time All-Star at the beginning of his career and now going on his third season of not being an All-Star, will he ever get back? And will the All-Star game itself ever come to Detroit? We'll give an update on where those progressions stand. But like we said, this weekend, Andre Drummond is going to Tinseltown. He'll be in L.A. for the All-Star game. And by the way, I was checking Twitter, saw that Luke Kennard tweeted that he's back home in Ohio. And he said, tweet, nothing like being home for a few days. And I wonder what all the other Pistons are doing with their time off. But like I said, Luke Kennard back home in Franklin, Ohio, outside of Dayton. So I went on a little wormhole, like I'm sure many of you guys do on the internet when you find stuff like this. And I knew that Luke Kennard was from Ohio, but anyway, I wasn't sure much about Franklin or where it was. And like I said, outside of Dayton. So went down a little bit of, and I knew he was an accomplished quarterback as well. They talk about that in the telecast as well. But obviously, before going to Duke, Luke Kennard was second all-time in high school basketball scoring in the state of Ohio. By the way, LeBron James is fifth on that list. And first on the list, you guessed it, John Diebler, who went to Ohio State recently and he now plays professionally over in Turkey. Other notables on that list, Bobby Huggins, who is 12th on the list. He went to play on at Ohio University and then transferred to West Virginia, where he played point guard. And he's now, of course, the head coach there, the former Cincinnati coach. Jimmy Jackson is 21st on that list. He went to Toledo Maycomber. And now, I knew he was an Ohio State star kind of at the beginning of the Fab Five time with Michigan, but I didn't know that Jimmy Jackson was from Toledo. So there you go. There's your little bit of Ohio high school basketball information. And, of course, that got me to thinking, you know how these wormholes go. Who's the point holder in Michigan? Now, I actually knew that without looking it up because I know this guy a little bit, and it's Jay Smith, the former Central Michigan basketball head coach. He was the head coach when I was there, and I believe he was the University of Detroit assistant coach in the past prior seasons. I'm not sure. I don't think that he's no longer there. I'll look it up and pass along maybe in the future if anyone cares where Jay Smith is, but I believe when Bakari Alexander brought his new staff in, that Jay Smith was not brought back. But anyway, from Mayo, Michigan, where I went camping as a spring breaker junior year of high school, by the way, went camping in Mayo, but it was raining. Long story. Jay Smith scored 2,841 points in his 4 years at Mayo High School. By the way, that's almost 400 points behind Diebler, who leads Ohio. The Michigan High School Athletic Association has a list of the top career scorers, and there's only one Piston, former Piston on there, as far as I could tell. I didn't look up if there's some maybe obscure names from the past that were former Pistons as well. But the one name I found was Mark Macon, who had two stints with the Pistons in the late 90s, fifth all-time in Michigan high school scoring. He was at Saginaw Buena Vista, and I believe he was a Mr. Basketball as well. I was surprised that Chris Webber wasn't on that list. The minimum of the players, I believe, was about the top 25 or so, was 2,000 career points, and there were no Country Day players on there. Maybe they don't have – you got to go through a process to get on those kinds of lists. The school has to submit historical records and all that. But I'm guessing the reason that the Country Day players weren't on there is because they're always blowing teams out. And guys like Chris Webber and Shane Battier maybe didn't put up those huge stats. So that was my wormhole that I went in. I thought maybe some of the Pistons nerds out there like myself might have appreciated some of that past knowledge as I went through the Luke Kennard wormhole and ended up wondering whether Country Day has accurate historical records. So that's where we're at. Anyways, All-Star Weekend starts tonight in L.A. with the Celebrity Game and the Rising Star Game. No Pistons ties there. Luke Kennard did not make the Rising Star Game. He didn't deserve it. It's fine. There's 12 guys in the USA team. They do a USA versus world format now. And you look at the names on the list, the 12 guys from the USA team, there's no way he should have made it over them. So no reason for us to complain about that. The first taste of Pistons this weekend should come on Saturday afternoon as the Basketball Hall of Fame announcement will be made, not for the honorees for this year, but for the finalists, as they will be announcing the finalists and then naming the actual honorees for this summer during Final Four weekend, which obviously is coming up early April. So there should be some Pistons flavor there. The three names that are basically shoo-ins, according to the national media folks, to get in as honorees are Steve Nash, Jason Kidd, and Ray Allen. But then there's three interesting Pistons names: Grant Hill, Chauncey Billups, and Rip Hamilton. So all guys who we grew up watching, if you're in my age demographic and rooting for and all that stuff. So I would imagine that all three of those guys are going to be finalists. I'm really not sure how the numbers game works from here on out. But so we should hear about that on Saturday afternoon. And then All-Star Saturday on TNT begins at 8 o'clock Eastern. One of the first contests will be the Taco Bell Skills Challenge, and Andre Drummond is a fill-in competing in that. I haven't had Taco Bell, by the way, in a long time, but I kind of want it now. I think that you guys should get to it today. A free plug for Taco Bell. Go ahead and get some Taco Bell today. Do it. You deserve it. Also, so like I said, Andre Drummond is in it. Joining him in the contest, former Pistons, Spencer Dinwiddie, Joel Embiid, Al Horford, Lauri Markkanen, Buddy Hield, Jamal Murray, and Lou Williams. According to Bovada, Lou Williams is the favorite to win the skills challenge at plus 350, and Andre Drummond is the long shot at plus 900, the dark horse in the race. It seems like not a great bet, by the way, plus 900 for Andre Drummond. Should be like 15-1 at least, I would think. What the players have to do, they have to dribble a course and then pass through this little hoop and then make a layup and then knock down a three-pointer. You go one-on-one against someone at the same time, and it's kind of a three-round single elimination tournament. The last couple of years, notably, I guess, as notably as the Taco Bell Skills Challenge could possibly be, last couple of years were won by big men. Karl-Anthony Towns won a couple of years ago, and Kristaps Porzingis won last year. So a little bit of history for the big men to crash that party, and Andre is going to have a chance to do that. Although, like I said, I don't think this is going to go very well for Andre in terms of the speed, the dribbling, the shooting, even the layups sometimes, as Pistons fans will attest, don't go so well for Andre sometimes. And yes, next up would be the three-point contest. Tobias Harris, former Piston, he's going to be taking part. He's one of eight players, and all these guys are all pretty big names, by the way. Bovada says that Tobias Harris is the long shot, just like Drummond is in the Skills Challenge, at plus 100. The favorite, by the way, in terms of the betting, is Klay Thompson, as you might expect, and he is a plus 220 to win the three-point contest. Then we got the dunk contest. There's four guys competing: Victor Oladipo, Larry Nance Jr., Dennis Smith Jr., and Donovan Mitchell. So four pretty big names in basketball circles. No, you know, borderline G League guys or anything like that that they've had in the past, and all guys that you would expect to get after it as far as the athleticism and the creativity as well. Dennis Smith Jr. is the favorite at plus 170 from the Dallas Mavericks. Then Mitchell is next at 220. Then Larry Nance is third in the betting lines at 265. Victor Oladipo, the all-star, is the long shot of the four at plus 400. I'm going with Larry Nance, by the way. And if he wins, interestingly enough, he will join his father, Larry Nance Sr., as the first father-son combination to win the dunk contest titles. And I believe Nance won before Jordan came into the league. So then we move on to Sunday, and it will be obviously the All-Star game at Staples Center, 8 o'clock Eastern. Andre Drummond is on Team LeBron. I hate it. I hate the new format. I think it's stupid. I've gone over this before. I don't understand why they changed it. I do understand that they needed to maybe tweak something to bring some interest in it, but I don't think this is it. But it's possible that I'm being old and crotchety here, and I'll concede that that's certainly a possibility. But I'm interested to get the feedback from the people in Twitterverse on Sunday about if any fans or players care more because of this. Now, we had villain of the podcast, not friend of the podcast, but villain of the podcast, Amin El-Hassan of ESPN. He said back then that it's going to be so great and everyone is excited. So we'll see about that. I think the draft was a decent idea, picking off sides like that. But I don't even – why would you not publicize when the players were taken? I bet they will do that as years go on, and maybe it will turn into kind of a cool event. I think that they should just have the LeBron, Curry captains or whoever the captains are in the future just – pick the players as the, you know, right before the game starts. And this isn't certainly an original idea. People have tossed around this idea before, but just on the court and just throw them the jersey as you pick them after they line up, just like you're playing on the playground. So that might be a kind of an interesting way of going about it in the future. And I think they will get creative with it going on. But just with this year, I don't know who am I supposed to root for, LeBron or Steph Curry's team? And I know that Pistons fans were probably going to end up rooting for Team LeBron because Andre Drummond's on their team. But with the East and West, it was always such a clear delineation of, okay, Pistons playing the East, rooting for the East, especially with the inferiority complex we've come to have about the East versus the West. But we'll see how that goes. But now we're going to be looking back a little bit later on some of the biggest memories for Pistons from the All-Star Game weekend. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt_Shook at SCHOCH at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on in the show, we're going to be talking about the All-Star Games of the future for the Pistons. Will Andre become a staple in the All-Star Game? Will Blake Griffin ever get back to the All-Star Game? And will Detroit be hosting one someday? So some interesting topics to chew on there. But taking a look back at some Pistons past, the top five Pistons, well, let's go into the top six, actually, with some ties included. Pistons All-Star appearances. Number one, you guessed it, Isaiah Thomas had 12 All-Star appearances for the most all-time in Pistons history. 12 in a row, by the way, and 12 of his first 13 seasons. He went to all All-Star games in all but one of his seasons in his career. Second all-time in All-Star game appearances, Bob Lanier with 7. Tied for third all-time, Dave Bing with 6 and Joe Dumars with 6. Fifth place alone was Grant Hill with 5, and these are all as they were members of the Pistons, obviously. So Grant Hill, all 5 of his seasons with the Pistons, made the All-Star team. A big tie for 6th place with 4, although there's a little bit of a dispute between NBA.com and BasketballReference.com when I was looking this up. One of them said that Gene Shue from the early Pistons days went to 4 All-Star games, but the other one said he went to 5. So he either tied with Grant Hill, but or in this group of ones with 4. And the other guys are Ben Wallace with 4 All-Star appearances as a Piston, and Bill Laimbeer with 4 All-Star appearances. Now, I'm 35 years old, and I kind of remember end of career Bill Laimbeer, so I was kind of surprised he went to that many. Would have been nice to see the more spry Bill Laimbeer in the middle of his career, but All-Star perennially most of the time in the 80s as well. And then Bailey Howell, who's another one of those early Pistons players from, I think he might have intersected with the Fort Wayne Pistons as well in the early Detroit Pistons days at Olympia Arena. Also, speaking of the Fort Wayne Pistons, for those of you who are really into this trivia about Pistons stuff, Larry Faust actually had 6 All-Star appearances, which would tie him for Dave Bing and Joe Dumars for third in franchise history, but that was also with the Fort Wayne Pistons, so before the move to Olympia Arena in Detroit. One of the names that jumped out to me was Jimmy Walker, who made 2 All-Star appearances in the 70s. He, of course, is the father of Jalen Rose. As you may know, he was I knew he was a Piston, but I didn't know he was an All-Star for the Pistons, and he was an absent father throughout Jalen Rose's life as his mother raised him in Detroit there. So another fact that jumped out at me is before Andre Drummond's first All-Star appearance 2 years ago, the Pistons went 6 seasons without having an all-star between 2008 and 2009 season. And then when Drummond made it 2 years ago, 2008-2009, it was Allen Iverson, who was elected as a starter by the fans, even though obviously Iverson was at the tail end of his career. Kind of a weird situation here for Iverson in the lowlights of his career with the Pistons, and he was still popular enough as a player for the fans to vote him in to the All-Star game. But I wanted to run down three moments that you may remember or may not remember from Detroit Pistons All-Star past that are worth thinking about this weekend. First of all, 1994, his rookie season, filling in as a last-minute replacement in the dunk contest for Harold Miner, who was a dunk contest regular back then, Baby Jordan, one of the first Baby Jordans out there. But I didn't remember this happening, but Allen Houston was a replacement in the dunk contest in 1994. And check it out on YouTube. I'll tweet it out a little bit later. Really worth a look. They gave him just 60 seconds to go. We actually got fourth place, or I don't know if it was 60 seconds, maybe a little bit more time, but do as many dunks as possible or something like that, or your three best get judged or whatever it was. But he did pretty well. The last one that he went for, it worked out. He threw it up and bounced the ball off of his head, caught it in the air, and dunked it home. So pretty funny and pretty remarkable. And then Houston went on to a really, really strong career with the New York Knicks, kind of gets lost in history a little bit, despite the fact that he was one of the best players for the Knicks. Wasn't exactly a Knicks kind of player, though, back in that era with the nasty Anthony Masons, rest in peace, and then Larry Johnson, Patrick Ewing, and all those guys. John Starks, of course, the hero in New York from that era. But Allen Houston, fourth place in the dunk contest in 94, worth a look on YouTube, I promise. And then also worth a look on YouTube is our second moment that I wanted to bring up back in the memory, is Brandon Knight, who got crossed over by Kyrie Irving in the 2013 Rising Stars Challenge. Knight was still with the Pistons back then. Kyrie Irving kind of did like a fake crossover and with an outside dribble. We used to call them Doc Rivers dribbles back in high school days, but kind of did an outside or an inside-out dribble and then went with the crossover step-back jumper. And as Brandon Knight was trying to recover, he kind of lost his footing and basically fell into Irving as he knocked down the jumper. But you might forget, but Brandon Knight came down the next time down the court and made a three. I don't know if it was right in Kyrie's face or not, but he banked home a three next time down the court. So I guess congratulations to him. Chris Webber on the telecast for TNT went nuts, which seems to be pretty fitting, but wasn't as big of a gaffe or bad highlight for Brandon Knight as would come later when he had the DeAndre Jordan alley-oop dunk on top of him, which was an incredible moment as the doldrums of Pistons rebuild was in full shape back then. There's actually a pretty good YouTube video that you should check out too, with the background music of that Had a Bad Day song by Train, the worst band in the world. And it's titled Brandon Knight is the Unluckiest Player in the NBA. All sorts of highlights with him getting schooled by some of the best players of this era as a member of the Detroit Pistons. So check that one out. Knight, by the way, still with the Suns right now, but he's out for the season after tearing his ACL in August. Kind of going along that theme of Had a Bad Day and embarrassments and whatnot. And of course, the third biggest memory for Pistons fans, and I'll throw in maybe second and a half, would be that Grant Hill won the voting for 1993 in All-Stars as his rookie season had the most votes. But anyway, the third one and the most notorious one involves Isaiah Thomas and the famous freeze out of Michael Jordan. Did they or didn't they freeze out the rookie from the Chicago Bulls? The rumor went that Michael Jordan didn't acknowledge Isaiah Thomas in the elevator the night before the game, and that also MJ was showboating in the dunk contest by wearing his warm-ups in round one while the other competitors were just wearing their uniforms. He went on to win the dunk contest that year, and he wore his gold chains throughout as a rookie in 1984 in Indianapolis. I looked at the box score for that game. Jordan did start along with Isaiah in the backcourt. Jordan started, got up 9 shots in 22 minutes, so the freeze-out maybe wasn't as great as it was designed by guys like Isaiah Thomas and Larry Bird, if that was what happened. Isaiah was 9 for 14 with 22 points in that game as well. The East went on to lose that game to Ralph Sampson, one of the best what-ifs in NBA history and the Western Conference that year. The former Virginia Cavalier, Ralph Sampson, the big guy, had 24 points, one MVP. By the way, another factoid, Isaiah Thomas, the year before that game of the freeze-out and the year after that game of the freeze-out, 1984 and 1986, Isaiah's third and fifth seasons in the league, he was the All-Star Game MVP for both of those years. Two of four Piston All-Star MVPs in history. The other two, Bob Lanier in 1977, and then in Dave Bing in 1976. Actually, Bob Lanier was 1974, and Dave Bing 1976. So that's a trip down memory lane for the Pistons. And we're going to take a look at the future and possibilities for the future Pistons in the All-Star Game. But you should also be listening to the Locked On Lions podcast with Matt Derry of Detroit Radio. You know who he is. Check that out every day. We've got podcasts for every NBA team and every NFL team. So check out the Leos podcast with Matt Derry, the Locked On Network, your team every day. What about the future All-Star Games for the Detroit Pistons as currently constructed? Will Blake Griffin ever make it back? He went five times, has not made it in the past 3 years as a member of the Los Angeles Clippers and just recently a member of the Pistons. Obviously, the Eastern Conference could help him in a lot of ways, a lot less talent, a little bit easier to make it perhaps. But there's some young talent in the front court in the Eastern Conference as well. You got to think guys like Kristaps Porzingis, Joel Embiid, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Those guys, given that they're going to be continuing to be healthy, which is not quite a given, but if they are, those guys should be mainstays and be anchors of the Eastern Conference All-Star team. You got guys like Kevin Love as well. If I set the over-under for Blake Griffin All-Star game appearances from here to the rest of his career, and maybe with the Detroit Pistons, or let's say the next 5 years in this contract anyway, if the over-under was 1.5 for Blake Griffin, if he was going to make 1.5, so obviously the under would be 0 or 1, and the over is more than that, I'm going to go with over. I think that he'll make 2, maybe even 3 All-Star games for Detroit. I think if healthy, he will get there, and obviously that's the big question with Blake Griffin, if he can stay healthy. But I think he'll put up big numbers in Detroit. And then moving on, will Andre Drummond make it more times? This is his second All-Star appearance this weekend. It might be tougher with Blake Griffin getting over to Detroit and getting in there. Dre could have his role changed going forward to maybe the ultimate role player for the Pistons. And if you're a role player and a defender and a rebounder and all those kind of things, first of all, you have to excel at all those things. He's already there for rebounding. But it's tough for guys like that to get in unless there's the ultimate team success. So the question of whether Andre Drummond will become a perennial All-Star or nearly perennial All-Star probably boils down to how bearish or bullish you are on the Pistons as a team in the future. So if the over-under total was 4 for Andre Drummond, given that he already has 2, so 2 more, if that was the over-under for 2 more All-Star appearances for him as a Piston, I'm going to go with an under, although it might be a push. He might make actually just 2 more or possibly 1 or less. I'm going to go with under. I think he might get consideration every 2 or 3 years or so, but given that he won't be the main feature of the offense, he's going to need to turn into a defensive beast to continue to get recognition in a crowded front court of Blake Griffin. And it remains to be seen whether Andre Drummond's going to follow in the footsteps of guys like Dennis Rodman or Ben Wallace. Obviously, he doesn't have the energy and elite athleticism that those two guys, although he does have the size over those two guys as far as sheer size and girth, that maybe he can use that to his advantage on the defensive side. And he's not there yet. Obviously, he's not a defensive player of the year, contrary to what some of the advanced stats seem to dictate as far as the defensive season that he's having. But we'll see if Drummond takes that next step. And as far as the All-Star game coming to Detroit, they've already made announcements for the next 3 years after this year in LA. They're going to be in Charlotte next season, Chicago in 2020, and then Indianapolis the year after that in 2021. A lot of stiff competition. Sacramento has a new arena, has thrown in a bid. Cleveland wants it to come there for the first time in more than 50 years. Milwaukee has a new arena opening up next year, and they want one. Utah wants in. Boston, Houston, those teams have all thrown in bids. And then Golden State's got their new arena opening up soon, and they're going to want it there too as well. So plenty of stiff competition. I got to tell you, the empty seats in Little Caesars Arena aren't helping the Pistons' cause as Adam Silver mulls over those kind of things. I think it will come, but it probably won't be in the next 2 years or so. I'm going to have to wait more like 5 years from now for Little Caesars Arena to be hosting All-Star Weekend. But we are going to be looking back at All-Star Weekend at Monday's podcast. And during the break, the Pistons don't return to action until a week from today, a week from Friday night at home against the Boston Celtics on February 23rd. And I'm trying to line up some guests for next week to make it fun as we wait for more basketball ahead. But go ahead and give us a follow on the Locked On NBA Network Twitter account at Locked On NBA Net. And also give us a subscription or subscribe to us on iTunes is the actual English way of saying that. And give us a 5-star rating as well if you're into the podcast. And give us a follow on Facebook as well at the Locked On Pistons Matt Shook. Give us a like on that page and join the conversation with some of the guys on there as we talk Pistons. But thanks for listening, everyone, and we will talk to you all again soon. Enjoy the weekend.